Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom. We had learned in the Mishnah Zeh Klal, Havi Migdash, the rule that applied in the Beis of Migdash was that whoever urinated required Kiddush Adayim Reglayim. Says the Gemara Bishlama, I could understand, says the Gemara, why there's a need for Kiddush Reglayim, Mishum Netzoyseis. As a person urinates, there are droplets of the urine that may fall on his feet, and therefore they have to be cleaned with Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. Ask the Gemara, Ella Yadayim, why is there halacha, my Yadayim, my Tamu? What is the reason that they had to also clean their hands? Why he didn't do anything? Nothing happened with his hands that should require Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. So Al Gemara is teaching us, going back to the Mishnah, that whoever urinated needed Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. Whenever used the bathroom, required tefillah. So there's a Machlokes Rishonim, Yishalmi and the Rishonim discuss, why was tefillah required if somebody used the bathroom? So the Yerushalmi explains that just like the halacha is, that if somebody leaves the Beis HaMikdash, so it's considered like a Hesach Hadas, and if he re-enters, he has to be Mekadosh himself again. So Yerushalmi says that if somebody uses the bathroom, he's considered the same way, and that's why he requires Kiddush, that's why Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim are required. But the question is, how do we understand the opinion? The Rav Nil explains that the tefillah was actually there to make him clean. And as the Tosfos Shonim explains, it's referring here to a Kohen who is doing the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. And while he's doing the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, he had to urinate or use the bathroom, and therefore he has to have tefillah. Because it's not speaking about first thing in the morning. Because first thing in the morning, as we learned, and he says we will, in Mitzvah Shem, continue to learn, everybody had to have Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. Everybody had to go to the mikveh. So we're talking about only in the middle of the day, and he went to the bathroom, and that's what he had to do. The Tosfos Shonim also explains that the reason that the Mishnah says it's required is because there's a level of mius involved when somebody goes to the bathroom. The Cheshek Chloima asks, why is that the halacha? He says that the reason that's the halacha is because what he really means to ask is that if we're going to go to the mikveh, when somebody goes to the bathroom, why does he also have to do? He asks, Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. So the Cheshek Shleima answers that as we said earlier from the Yerushalmi, when somebody goes to the bathroom, his level of Kedusha, so to speak, goes down. And because of his level of Kedusha goes down, that's why he has to have both Tefillah and Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim to come back to that status that he was on previously before he went to the bathroom. So the Gemara asked, we understand why after urination, Kiddush Reglayim is necessary. But ask the Gemara, Yadayim, my Tama, what does he also have to do? Yadayim. So the Sfasemis asks a question. Don't Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim always travel together? So if Kiddush Reglayim, the Gemara says, we understand why it's required because of the Netzoytzis, so that should be automatically a requirement to do Kiddush Yadayim as well. So the Sfasemis takes the approach that we just mentioned earlier, that the purpose of the Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim, the approach of some of the Rishonim, the approach of the Rimanol, that says the Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim that was done was not because, not like the Yerushalmi says, because there was a lowering of the Kedusha, there was a Hesach Das, and therefore if you're going to resume the Avodah, you have to go back and be Mekadosh yourself again. If that were the reason, indeed, says the Sfas Emes, If you have to be Mekadosh Raglayim, you have to be Mekadosh Adayim, because Kiddush Adayim Raglayim always, always travel together. Rather, explains the Sfas Emes, the reason is as the Gemara just said, the entire reason that you're doing Kiddush Raglayim is because of cleanliness purposes. And if the reason is to do because of cleanliness purpose, so then maybe the Raglayim is enough to wash. That's where there's a concern from the Tzaitzus for drops of water that might have fallen there. That has nothing to do with the Yadayim. Says the Gemara, Amar Abba Zoysa Maris, the fact that our Mishnah requires both Kiddush Yadayim and Raglayim teaches us mitzvah l'shafshesh, that if water dropped, if urine dropped on the feet, then you need to clean those feet. And since you have to clean the feet with your hands, now your hands also became dirty. And therefore, the halacha is that it's required Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. The Meritz Chayis says, from here we see that when the Gemara says the word mitzvah, it doesn't necessarily have to be referring to a mitzvah deraisa. Even something which is something that the Rabbanan told us to do. Here, the requirement to wash the hands is clearly a gzeirah Rabbanan because of mitzvah l'shafshef, and yet the Gemara uses the words mitzvah l'shafshef. So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, since the entire reason we're washing the hands is only because the hands were used to clean the feet, says Rabbeinu Tam, if somebody did not do this, yes, Chazal said that the right thing to do is after you urinate and there's a concern that there's some urine on your feet or wherever else, you have to wash it off. But somebody who didn't do it would not have to wash his hand. Because he says, therefore, says Rebbeinu Tam, the same thing is for davening or making a bracha. If somebody knows that his hands weren't in a place that they got dirty, there's no need to wash your hands before you daven or before you make a bracha. But other Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Elchanan, disagrees. And they say once Chazal said there's a mitzvah l'shafshef, and Chazal said mitzvah l'shafshef, and once there's a mitzvah l'shafshef, you have to wash your hands, even if somebody was not m'shafshef, and therefore his hands did not get dirty, the halacha is that one always has to wash his hands. Tosfos Yeshanim takes the same approach as Rabbeinu Elchanan, but he applies it somewhat differently. He says, in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a chiv to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, both the Raglayim and the Yadayim, even if your hands did not get dirty, because once Chazal said that you have to be Meshafshef, Chazal also said that whenever somebody urinated, they had to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. However, when it comes to davening, there he says, or saying a bracha, there is not necessarily the same. And by davening by a bracha, if somebody is certain that his hands were not in contact with anything that would make them dirty, there is no need to wash the hands. Says the Gemara, Mesailei, what we just learned is a raya to what Rav Ami taught us. Damer Rav Ami, Os Lod Mishayetz Ben Taisa Shal Gabi Raglov, a person should always make sure there are no droplets of urine left on his feet. Somebody who doesn't urinate in the regular way, the water drips on his feet. And that's a proof that he's unable to have children. So if there's going to be droplets of urine on somebody's feet, people may come to accuse him that he can't have children. And the children that are supposedly his children, they aren't his children. They're children that his wife had, chas v'shalom, from a different man who would be mamzerim. So since the Gemara discussed the halacha of cleanliness of the body, the Gemara delves into this a little more. Amra papat soibim kaima, waste on the part of the body where it emanates from the body, osur l'kris krishma. A person can't read krishma if there's soya in that place. So the Gemara drills down. Hechidami, exactly when was this halacha said? Eden niris, if it's visible, pshita. Then certainly you cannot say krishma under those circumstances. Eloi niris, and if it's not visible, and the only issue is that the person did not clean himself adequately, ask the Gemara, loinet the Torah l'malach hasharis. The Torah wasn't given to malach hasharis. And as long that somebody cleaned himself to the best of his ability, that should be enough. Answers the Gemara, Leitzricha Rapap is referring to a situation where the Tzoya is in a place where Yoshev Niris, that if he was sitting and his buttocks were exposed, you could see the Tzoya. But when it's not visible, when he's standing, it's not visible. And Rav Papa's Chiddush is that since when you're sitting, it's visible, that is enough to make it Asur. Ask the Gemara, Mashna B'tzoya Al-Psara. But ask the Gemara, why is this any different than Tzoya that's found on the person's body? The Nitma, they learned Tzoya Al-Psara. If somebody has Tzoya on his body, or Shoyada B'Beis HaKisei, somebody has his hand in the Beis HaKisei, and he's standing outside of the Beis HaKisei. Rav Huna Amar Mutar L'Kris Krishma. Rav Huna says such a person is allowed to read Krishma. Because Rav Huna learns, the Pasuk, when it speaks about davening, says, Kol HaNeshama HaNetluyim Bo. So as when do we have to daven and make sure that where we're davening is in the proper place, is when the parts of the body that smell, the mouth, the nose. And therefore, even if the rest of the body may not be so clean, as long as you don't smell a bad odor, you may daven. Chizda disagrees. He says, also liquor krishma, because the Pasuk says, Kol atzmaisai tamarna Hashem mikamaycha, that the entire body has to be perfectly clean in order to be able to say krishma. So Rav Papa, Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Papa, and Rav Huna holds that if there's soil on the body, you may say krishma. And even Rav Chizda only has a new limit of color at Tzmoisai, but nothing to do with the odor, answers the Gemara. B'mekayma, so why did the Gemara begin with soil b'mekayma? It has nothing to do with mekayma. According to Rav Huna, it has to do you smell it? And according to Rav Chizda has to do if it's on your body. Rather, says the Gemara, "Mkayma nafishluma," in the place where it exits the body, therefore there's a lot of heat there, and therefore you have to be more machmer. Tzoyah shaloy b'mkayma, if it's not where it comes out, like nafishluma, it doesn't give off so much of a odor. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that even though somebody that there are different places on the body that we have to be careful. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that this halacha that we began the sugya, also halacha is krishma. When the halacha is that you're not allowed to read krishma, it's not just the din lechatchila, it's even b'diavid. And the Mishnah Berurah says that if somebody davened or said krishma and realized afterwards that he wasn't clean, and he has to say over the krishma, but say over the tefillah. And therefore, the Paiskim say that a person has to be constantly careful to make sure that his body is completely clean. Because of what we're learning, that especially if it's soyba koima, if it's in a place where it's where it is, and therefore it's more of an issue, we have to be very careful. And there's a very important, the Magen Avraham in Ohr Chaim, Simon Pei Aleph, quotes the Shibula Leket that one should not say krishma next to a young child, because usually a young child is dirty and they have tzoya on the body that weren't perfectly cleaned, and therefore you should be careful not to say krishma under such circumstances. And in fact, the Devar Chaim and the Tshuva in Ohr Chaim Chelek Bei Simon Tes says that one shouldn't say amen after the bracha recited by a child that you think would be dirty, would have a dirty diaper, or wouldn't have been cleaned properly. Because our Gemara is saying that certainly in a place where it's tzoy b'mekayma, as the Gemara began, we have to be very careful. And moreover, says the Shas Tshuvas Panim Iris, makes a very, very important point in general regarding chinuch. He says, why? We're dealing with a child, and a child doesn't know how to clean himself properly, and we want to train the child to say brachas. So the Shalos Tshuvos Modern Meir says that part of when we speak about chinuch, part of what's included in chinuch is to be mechanech somebody to do a mitzvah and to be mechanech them to do the mitzvah properly. Teaching a child to make brachas, of course, is very important. But just like it's important to teach a child to make brachas, we also have to train him to make brachas in the proper manner. And making brachas under circumstances where your body is not clean is not the proper way of training them how to make brachas. Tana bottom. Halacha besuda. There were halachas that would say regarding suda. Adam yoytzil hashtemayim. If somebody in the middle of the meal went out to urinate, noytel yodo achas. He has to clean one hand. That means, as we said a few moments ago, when a person uses the bathroom, he has to clean himself. But you could clean yourself only with one hand. So therefore, wash that hand, for nichnas, and come back into the Mishnah, and come back to the meal. So the Beis Halevi asks that we learned in our Mishnah, we started this year today, kol ha-matl mayim ton kiddush yudayim v'glayim. And as we explained, when the Gemara says that you need to have kiddush yudayim v'glayim, it didn't ever give an option of just one hand. The Mishnah, the Gemara said you have to do kiddush yudayim on both hands. Here we're learning, asked the Beis Halevi, that one hand is enough. So the Beis Halevi answers that there's a difference between kiddush yadayim reglayim and washing your hands. Washing your hands, you have to wash the hand that got dirty. The hand that didn't get dirty doesn't have to be washed. But he says there's no such a thing as doing kiddush yadayim only on one hand. Kiddush yadayim by definition is always both hands. So once Chazal said that if somebody urinates during doing avodah, he has to do kiddush yadayim, there is no option to only do kiddush yadayim on one hand. You have to do it on both hands. The Menachem Eshe Nefesh, sort of a similar approach, says that when we're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash and we're dealing with going back to doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not just an issue of cleanliness. It's also an issue of Kedusha. And since it is also an issue of Kedusha, it's only appropriate to do kiddush yadayim on both hands. Dibim Chaveri, if somebody walked out of the meal to speak to a friend, the Hiflik, and it took him a while as he was standing outside talking, and now he comes back, he has to wash both hands. Because since he was out for such a long time, we're concerned that he was Mesiach Das from paying attention to what is going on with his hands. When he washes his hands, says the Gemara, don't wash your hands outside, because people won't know that you wash your hands, and they're going to think that you're resuming your meal without washing. He should come back to his seat, and wash both hands, and he should ask other people there if they too, tvich means the cup, will wash their hands, and he turns around out of proper manners and asks them, does anybody else need to wash their hands? That's how Rashi explains. The Rambam explains what the Gemara means to say. Since we said that he has to wash his hands by the table, so everybody should know that he's washing, not Chas v'Shalom accuse him that he's resuming the meal without washing. So the halacha is that he should wash in front of all the other people. The Reino Eliyakim has a similar pshat to the Rambam. He says it's not the actual washing that has to be done in front of all the other people. Meliyakim means that the drawing of the hands should be done in front of everybody else. And once he's drawing his hands in front of everybody else, it will be obvious that he washed his hands as he should. Says the Gemara, Amrav, because it's loya moron that you have to wash, el lishtos. He finished eating. He only wants to drink. People, the meaning in those times was after they finished the meal, they would drink. And he has to wash his hands, even though it has no intention of eating, because many times, even though it was only their intention to eat, they decided to drink. Avalecho, if he came back to eat, then he doesn't have to wash in front of everybody else. He can wash outdoors, because there's no question, everybody knows, that he's not going to resume his meal without washing his hands, and there's no reason for chshad that he didn't wash his hands. If Even if I'm just coming back to drink, do not have to wash my hands publicly. Because everybody knows, everybody knows that I'm very particular and sensitive. And there's no way that I would come back to the meal without washing my hands. So there's no reason that people will accuse me that I didn't wash my hands, and therefore I can wash my hands outdoors. Says the Mishnah, Ein Adam Nichnas La'avad Avoida. Nobody may do the Avoida, Afilu Tar, even if the person is Tar, Atche Yitbal, until he goes to the mikveh. And Rashi, Divrei HaMaskil Avoida, says that even if somebody's entering the Azara without the intention of doing Avoida, he's just entering the Azara, he may not enter the Azara without going to the mikveh first. And Taisa says that not only that, even the Shechita, which we learned, Shechita Ksheira Lazar, Ksheira Bazar, that the Shechita may be done by a Zar, even though the Shechita may be done by a Zar, still Shechita may not be done until Tefillah took place before. And in fact, that's what the Rishonim say, that the Mishnah uses the words Ein Adam Nichnas. It doesn't specify Kohanim. The Mishnah speaks about Ein Adam Nichnas. Nobody could come into the Beis HaMikdash, nobody could come into the Azara unless he first goes to the mikveh. It's not limited to a Kohen, it's a Yisrael as well. And as the Tosfos Rid explains our Mishnah, he says that our Mishnah is teaching us two dinim. One halacha is, as we keep on repeating, that no one may enter the Azara unless he went to the mikveh first. Because if he's going from a place which is of lower Kedusha and now entering the Kazara, tefillah is required. But then, he says, the Mishnah is teaching us a very bechidish. He's saying, let's say you had somebody, a Kohen, who entered the Azara, and as we're learning, before he entered the Azara, he has to go to the mikveh. And while he's in the Azara, he was asked to do an Avoida. The halacha, according to the Tosfos Rid, is that such an individual would have to go to the mikveh again. Even though he went to the mikveh before he went to the Azara, he must go to the mikveh, he has to go to the mikveh again. However, the Tosfos Yontif points out that this area of the Azara that was saying that you may not enter the Azara unless you go to the mikveh is only the area of the Azara, which is Ezra's Yisrael, and certainly the Ezra's Kohanim. But the part of the Azara, which is the Ezra's Noshim, and the part of the Azara, which is the Chil, their halacha is that they don't have to go to the mikveh before you enter that area. There are also Rishonim that want to differentiate and say the Chiv of going to the mikveh before doing the Avoida is a Chiv deraisa. The Chiv of going to the mikveh before entering the Azara, there's a Chiv, but that Chiv is only a Chiv derabbanan. I saw from Tanka Rav that he explains that there are people that are makbid every morning to go to the mikveh. Why are they makbid to go to the mikveh every morning? Because they're going to daven and they're going to learn. And just like we learned in our Mishnah, the way almost all Rishonim agree, that before you do the Avoida, you must go to the mikveh. So before you daven and before you learn, that too is in the category of an Avoida. And since those are in the category of an Avoida, it's only appropriate that one should go to the mikveh before he does that. Says the Mishnah, Chamish Tevelis, five times did he go to the mikveh, the Sar Kedushim, and 10 times did he do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim, Toivel Kohen Gadol, did the Kohen Gadol go to the mikveh, Mekadosh Brei B'Yoyim, and do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim on Yom Kippur. For Kulan, says the Mishnah, all of the times that the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh, where the mikveh was the Kodesh HaBeis HaParva. They were done in the mikveh that was on the roof of the Beis HaParva. Chutz min zu bilvad, except that the tefillah that he did the first thing in the morning, because that tefillah, all these tefillahs and Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim that we just mentioned, were done because of Yom Kippur. The Avoida of Yom Kippur requires that they should be done. And since that they're considered part of the Avoida of Yom Kippur, they're done in the Azara. But the when the Kohen Gadol goes to the mikveh the first time every morning, the halacha is that that's no different than he does every day. And every day when he goes to the mikveh, it's not in that special mikveh, and therefore that tefillah is not in that mikveh as well. So the question is, we discussed earlier that the big machlokes rishonim, if the Trumas Hadeshen on Yom Kippur had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. So Rav Leib Malin Zatzal asks, according to the opinions that Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, also had to do Trumas Hadeshen, so it turns out that the Trumas Hadeshen is one of the avoidus Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol has to do. So why shouldn't he go to the mikveh, the Kodesh, for that avoida? So Rav Leib Malin answers that even if we learn that the Kohen Gadol is obligated to do Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, to do Trumas Hadeshen on Yom Kippur, it's different type of an avoida than all the other avoidas. Because all the other avoidas Yom Kippur were done strictly by day. The Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, particularly on Yom Kippur, as we learned the Mishnah in the previous Parakim, was done by Chatzos, it was done at night. So it's not the same as all the other avoidas. And the halacha that we just said that when the Kohen Gadol goes to the mikveh on Yom Kippur, because of Avodas Yom Kippur, it's a part of the Avodas Yom Kippur, says Rav Leib Malin Zatzal, it's only regarding the Avodas that were done by night, not the Avodas that were done by night, by day. Interestingly, the halacha is that every time the Kohen Gadol changed, that's when he did two times Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim and Tefillah of a Mikveh. Chaznish says, what happens if the Kohen Gadol's begodim tore? Then he doesn't require, and he has to change, he doesn't require a new tefillah and Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. He says that the obligation to go to the mikveh is not really connected. It's very bechidish. It's not really connected to the changing of the clothing. It's primarily connected, says the Chazon Ish, to the changing from one avoda to another avoda. So if this Kohen Gadol is changing his clothing, not because he's going from one avoda to another avoda, but he's changing his clothing because they ripped and he has to change them, then there is no requirement for new Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim and Tefillah B'Mikveh. So the Rashi explains that they went to the mikveh al gag beis ha-parva. And Tosfos explains that the gag beis ha-parva is the roof of this beis ha-parva. So Tosfos asks a question. The Gemara many times says, the gagin v'aliyah es lo neskatshu, the roofs and the upper story of the different chambers in the Beis HaMikdash did not become Kaddosh. So how can we say that you have to go to the mikveh? In a Makom Kaddosh, the roof isn't Kaddosh. So Tosfos explains that the way the roof of the Beis HaParva was built, it was on the same level as the floor of the Azara. And since it was on the same level of the Azara, it has the same Kedusha of the Azara, and that's why it's considered that he went to the mikveh b'makom kadosh. It's still considered a makom kadosh. So as Rashi explains, that the first time the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh every morning wasn't because of the special avoda of Yom Kippur, but rather, as we explained, it's because the Kohen Gadol has to go to the mikveh every day. But as the Gvur Sari, but we keep on repeating, and we're going to learn this many times in our Masechta, that Chomesh Tfilis, Vesra Kedushim, with the rice that the Kohen has to go to the mikveh five times and have Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim 10 times every Yom Kippur. So how can we treat this first time that he went to the mikveh different than all the other times? So he says there are two halachas. There's one halacha that he has to go to the mikveh and five times. And this tefillah that the Kohen Gadol did at the beginning of the day, before he began doing any avoda, is no different than any other tefillahs. There's a chiyuv. The difference, he says, is that the obligation for this tefillah doesn't have to be the makom kadosh. And he explains himself a little better. When did the Torah give the requirement that the tefillah has to be done the makom kadosh? It's only when the Kohen Gadol is switching from one set of begodim to another set of begodim. That's when it says that not only is tefillah required, but tefillah has to be done by makom kadosh. However, when the tefillah is being done, because the halacha requires the tefillah, but it's not accompanied with changing from one type of beged to another type of beged, then there is no there is a requirement for tefillah, but there is no requirement that it be done b'makom kaddish. Parshas Anos Habetz, and the Mishnah says, when the kohen went to the mikveh, they used to put up a linen sheet beinoy lebein am, between him and everybody else. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Sholos ben Zoymai, they asked ben Zoymai, tefillah zu, that we've been learning, that anybody goes to do the avoid in the Azara, anybody goes into the Azara, has to go to the mikveh. Lama, why is it necessary? In other words, Rashi explains that we're learning that whenever you enter the Beis HaMikdash first thing in the morning, you have to go to the mikveh, and the question is why? Amalem, so Ben Zoyma responded with a kavachoyma. Umam mishana mekodesh lekodesh. If somebody, the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, when he's going from one avodah to another avodah, we said he has to go to the mikveh. If a person is going mimakom she'anish karis lemakom she'anish karis, and he's staying within the azara, which is he's staying within the environment that if somebody who's tamei rachman tzlan goes in there, his chayiv karis, still the halach is that under all these circumstances, ta'an tefillah on Yom Kippur, amishana mechal kodesh. So certainly somebody who's going from outside the Azara into the Beis HaMikdash compound, going from a place, makom she'ena karish, if somebody's tamei, there's no issa for him to be outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and now he's entering makom she'ena karish, that if he's chas v'shalom tamei, he's chayiv karish if he enters such an area, and in addition, shetan tefillah, certainly he's chayiv to go to the mikveh. Rav Yudaima, Sracht Filzo. This tefillah that we're making him go is not something that is absolutely obligatory. The reason, it's not like we could say it's a chiv deraisa. The reason he goes to the mikveh, kidei sheyiska tumah yishana biyodai. It should serve as a reminder that if he has any tumah, he may not enter v'yifresh. So going to the mikveh is just it as a reminder to make sure he evaluates the status and make sure that he's tar and therefore is permitted to go into the Beis HaMikdash. But it's not that there's a separate chiv, to go to the mikveh under those circumstances. Asking Rabbi Maika Mifki, what is the basis of the machloikus? What will be the nafkamina in the machloikus? Bechule avoid kamifki. If somebody did the avoida without going to the mikveh. Liben Zoyma, that he learned from a kavachomer that there's a chiv to go to the mikveh. So if he didn't go to the mikveh, then mechal avoida. It's considered that the avoida is possible. The Rabbi Yehuda, that the entire purpose of going to the mikveh is just to serve as a reminder, like mechal avoida, it doesn't disqualify the avoida if he did do the avoida without going to the mikveh. Ask the Gemara, but now we're saying that according to Ben Zoyma, if somebody did the avoida without going to the mikveh, he disqualifies the avoida. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Will Ben Zoyma mi mechel? If somebody goes to the mikveh without does the avoida without doing mikveh, he disqualifies the avoida. Tanya, kohen gadol shelo kodesh shelo kidesh tava v'lo kidesh. If a kohen gadol did not go to the mikveh, did not do kiddush yadayim reglayim, ben beged l'beged, between changing of the begadim, or ben avoida l'avoida, by going from one avoida to another avoida, the halacha avodasa kshera. The halacha is that his avoida is kosher. Eche kohen gadol v'eche kohen hedyot, but says the Gemara, even though that's the halacha, a kohen gadol or kohen hedyot that didn't do kiddush yadayim reglayim shachris before he entered the Beis HaMikdash, and he did the avoida, avidasa psula. But the Braisa clearly says that if you didn't go to the mikveh between the avoida is not disqualified. And Ben Zoyma learned the entire chiv of going to the mikveh in the morning, going to the mikveh before you enter the Azara, from the chiv of the kohen gadol to go to the mikveh every time he changes or changes avoida or changes clothing. So if the kohen gadol doesn't disqualify the avoida under those circumstances, and that is the source, according to Ben Zoyma, to the entire halacha, the one has to go to the mikveh, obviously not going to the mikveh will not disqualify the avoida. Says the Gemara, correct. Everybody agrees that if you didn't go to the mikveh, the avoida will not be disqualified. The question here is, l'mekim basay, If somebody didn't go to the mikveh, was he over a mitzvah asay? Leben zaymai, he's over asay. Just like the kohen gadol, when if he didn't go to the mikveh when he was supposed to, he's over asay, because the Torah says, "Ksonis bad kodesh yilbatz v'rochatz b'mayim es besor levesham." And therefore, if he didn't go to the mikveh, he violated that mitzvah asay. Ben zaymai, who learns from that, will hold that every time somebody goes into the Beis HaMikdash, Terazara, without going to the mikveh, violates that assay. Rabbi Yehuda, that the entire purpose of going to the mikveh is only to serve as a reminder, to make sure, to remember, are you or aren't you tired, you will not be over mitzvah assay. So, the Si Yitzchak makes a very interesting point. There's a klal in Shas, Ein Masir Menadin, that we can't create a mitzvah loisa say based on a kavachomer. But here, based on a kavachomer, we're saying that if somebody enters the azara, he's over a mitzvah say. So he says that even though there's a rule of emas here in Menadin, we can't create a loisa say just based on a kavachomer. A mitzvah say can be created just on the basis of a kavachomer. Ask the Gemara. Now the Gemara tries to evaluate the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But before we begin, we have to review what is the halacha as a metzaira is becomes Baruch Shem Tor, he's no longer metzaira. The Kohen comes and identifies and says that the metzaira is no longer metzaira. And he has to bring two birds, an eitz erez ushni talas ve'ezov. The Kohen shechs one of the birds, and the blood is poured into a keli that has in it well water, and he puts into that well water, the tzipra chaya, the live bird, the eitz erez, the shni talas, and the ezov, and he spritzes seven times on the metzora, and then the metzora has to shave all of the hair that's on his body. He has to take his clothing to the mikveh, and now he can enter Yerushalayim. After that, he waits for 7 days. He can't have relations during those 7 days. And during those 7 days, he's still considered an Ava Tuma. And those are the days that are called Yemei Sfira. On the 7th day, he again shaves all the hair on his body. Again, puts everything into the mikveh. He goes into the mikveh, puts his clothing into the mikveh. And after Erev Shemesh, he's Tahor. On the 8th day, he brings his kabbonis. The metzora has to stick his hand into the azara in order to be able to do smicha on the animal that's going to be brought as a carbon asham before they shecht it. And then he puts his head into the azara, and the kohen takes from the blood of that carbon and puts it on his right earlobe and then on his right thumb, and then on his right toe. And then the Kohen does the same with the loiga shemen that he brought. That is the basic review of what is done with a mitzvah. So ask the Gemara, Miss me isler Rabbi Yehuda, that does Rabbi Yehuda subscribe that to the halacha that we're learning, that anyone that enters the azara has to go to the mikveh? For Tanya, the Brisa says, Mitzayra Toivel, the Mitzayra on the 8th day goes to the mikveh, Vaymed B'shad Nikner, and that's where he stood when they did that entire procedure that we just mentioned. Rabbi Yudaima, Enet Tzarech Tefillah, he doesn't have to go to the mikveh, Shikvah Tova B'merev, he already went to the mikveh the night before. So we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, somebody who went to the mikveh and knows that he's Tor does not have to go to the mikveh again. Not like we're learning that any time you enter the azara, you have to go to the mikveh. Answers the Gemara, who could have tani tama? There, the answer is right in front of us. Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that if you go to the azara, you don't have to go to the mikveh. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this mitzvah doesn't have to go to the mikveh because shvat tova mibera, because he went to the mikveh already last night. Everyone else, Rabbi Yehuda is certainly going to agree, has to go to the mikveh. And in fact, ask the Gemara, and as the Rishonim explain, everybody else, we can't use this type of a svara. They went the night before. Because we don't know if they went the night before. He, because this is the halacha, that the halacha requires that he go the night before, that means that of course he went to the mikveh. And if, since we know of course he went to the mikveh, that's why he's different. Why would we say that that's an indication that Rabbi Yehuda holds that before you go to the Azari, you don't have to go to the mikveh? And the Gemara in fact asks, the karle mekarle, what was the havamina? It's so obvious. Answers the Gemara, Mishum de Kabbalah Mimma Achrita. The Gemara really wants to ask a different question. We learned early in the Masechta, when we described the various chambers that were there in the Azara, one of the chambers was the Lishkas HaMitzrayim. Shisham Mitzrayim Tavlim. That's where the Mitzrayim went to the mikveh before they went to the Shah Nikna. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Loi Mitzrayim Belvad Amru. Not only do the Mitzrayim have to go to the mikveh, El Kol Adam. Anybody who's entering the Azara has to go to that place and go to the mikveh. So here we see that Rabbi Yehuda requires the Mitzayra to go to the mikveh on the eighth day. And we just learned, Rabbi Yehuda says, that the Mitzayra doesn't have to go to the mikveh on the eighth day. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Ha, if the Mitzayra went to the mikveh on the seventh day, the Tavol, if he went to the mikveh on the seventh day, he does not have to go to the mikveh again on the eighth day. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that he has to go to the mikveh on the eighth day? The Loi Tavol. Ask the Gemara, but as we described the procedure of the Mitzayra, we said the Mitzayra goes to the mikveh on the seventh day and has Harav Shemesh. If we are now saying that we're talking about a Mitzayra who did not go to the mikveh on that day, so that means he didn't have Harav Shemesh. If he didn't have Harav Shemesh, he can't proceed with everything that we're going with everything we're saying he has to do. Either like Tovel, Harav Shemesh boy. Answers the Gemara, Eli Idiv Idiv Tovel. Of course he went to the mikveh the night before. Just had asach date. If he had a hesach das before the next morning, he has to go. Rabbi Yehuda says he has to go to the mikveh again. The lois asach date. If he didn't have a hesach das, then he doesn't have to go to the mikveh again. But ask the Gemara if that's the concern that he had hesach das, he asach date. Then he has to start from all over again because maybe he became tummy with a tummy mace. And if he became tummy with tummy mace, he has to have azar shlishi v'shvi boy. He has to have the whole procedure, the paraduma, with the water, with the mechatas sprinkled on him on the third day and the seventh day. Could Amar Reb Stoi Bar Master Amar Reb Yochanan hesach das? If we have a situation where somebody had a hesach das, he has to go through the entire paraduma procedure of tzarach azar shlishi v'shishi. Says Mara. This is the way we have to understand. There was no hesach das. V'loi kasha. When does he not have to go to the mikveh again on the eighth day, says Rabbi Yehuda, the tovel adas bayim migdash? When he went to the mikveh on the seventh day, he had in mind that this tefillah that I'm doing now should also be for the purpose of my ability to enter the Beis HaMikdash, then to the Azara. And therefore, it's considered fine. But if he went to the mikveh, the loy tavol das beis mikdash, but he didn't have that in mind. So we're learning here, explains the Chazon Ish, that there's a new halacha that somebody who goes into the Azara has to go to the mikveh first. And not only must he go to the mikveh first, he has to have in mind that this tefillah that I'm doing now is for the purpose that I should be able to go into the Azara. And if he did a tefillah, and it could have been in the best mikveh, and it could have been done in the most proper fashion possible, but he did not have in mind that I'm doing this for the purpose of going into the Azara, he has to go to the mikveh again. Vibay Seima, says the Gemara, another way of answering, Tanayim Loi Mitzrayim Amar El Kol Adam. We have to reword this entire braisa. Not that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the Mitzrayim have to go to the mikveh. Rabbi Yehuda holds, as we've been learning, that the Mitzrayim does not have to go to the mikveh, because he already went to the mikveh the night before. Where he's saying only everybody else before they enter the Azara have to go to the mikveh. And this is where was that mikveh that they went to before they entered the Azara? In the Lishkas Mitzrayim. Ravina Amar, a different way of explaining. Rabbi Yehuda, L'divrei de Rabbanan Kamalu. Rabbi Yehuda was speaking to Rabbanan. He said like this, L'didi, Mitzara ain't tzarech tefillah. The Mitzara doesn't have to go to the mikveh in the eighth morning. He already went to the mikveh the night before. But he says to Rabbanan, L'didi oidel chi'izi miyus. But don't you want to agree? L'loi Mitzrayim b'vad amru. That not only should the Mitzrayim go to the mikveh, El kol adam should have to go to the mikveh before he enters the Azara, even though he knows he's tor, because he has to go to the mikveh, that should serve as a way for him to evaluate, am I truly tor? Rabbanan, and Rabbanan disagree. Mitzayra, the Daesh Betumah, Mitzayra, who was tummy for a while, has to go to the mikveh to make sure that he's truly tor. Kol Adam, loy Daesh Betumah, and therefore, a person who knows who he's tor and has no reason to believe that he's not, doesn't have to go to the mikveh. Amalei Baile Rabbi Yosef, Neima, Rabbanan pligid Rabbi Yehuda. Should we say the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says that the Mitzayra does not have to go to the mikveh again on the eighth day. And the Rabbanan hold that he does, hold like Ben Zayma. And they hold like Ben Zayma, that Ben Zayma says that every time, as we started this last sugya, Ben Zayma, based on his kavachayma, learns that every time you're going into the Azara, not because you're worried that you're tamei, there's a kavachayma from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur that you have to go to the mikveh. If that would be the case, we would have a question. Why did they single out the Mitzayra? If that's a halacha, Ben Zayma's kavachayma applies to everyone. Says the Gemara, "V'hai the Tani Mitzayra lo diach kach Rabbi Yehuda." Then not only does Rabbi Yehuda hold that no one that there is no such chiv deraisa chiv asay, but even the Mitzayra whose daish betumah doesn't have to go to the mikvah, but Rabbanan will hold everybody. Idema shani Mitzayra the daish betumah, or maybe the Rabbanan will agree that they don't hold like Ben Zayma. And they don't say that there's a chiv deraisa going to the mikveh before you go to the Azara. And it's only the Mitzayra who's Daish Betumah, who was so involved in the Tumah, that were machmer on. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef said to Abaya, the way to understand the opinion of Rabbanan is Shani Mitzayra the Daish Betumah. But the Rabbanan will hold, not like Ben Zayma, the Rabbanan will hold that there is no chiv asay to go to the mikveh before, there's no chiva say to go to the mikveh before you enter the Azara if you have no reason to think that you're tamei. The only one that they hold does have to go to the mikveh is the Mitzayra who's Daesh B'tumah. So the Baal Amor summarizes what we learned in our shir. He says, according to Ben Zayma, even a person who's tahor and has no reason to be concerned that he's tamei, we have a kavachaymer from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur that before he enters the Azara, he has to go to the mikveh. And even if he went to the mikveh the night before, the morning before he enters the Azara, he has to go to the mikveh again. According to Rabbi Yehuda, says a regular person who is tahor, but he might be tamei, does have to go to the mikveh to serve it as a way to make sure that he truly is tahor. The Mitzayra, who went to the mikveh the night before, doesn't have to go to the mikveh. And according to Rabbanan, they are machmer by a Mitzayra, that a Mitzayra will always have to go to the mikveh that morning, even if he went to the mikveh the night before, and all other people, if they know their tor, do not have to go to the mikveh again before they enter the Azara.